Mildred lined up the target, drawing a bead with her ZKR. The checkmate target pistol sat lightly in her hand, palm firm around the grip, finger coiled around the trigger, squeezing with an infinite gentleness and care. Her free hand was cupped lightly beneath, supporting but not pressuring. She could feel the eyes of the hellbender she had joined at the target range bore into her back, willing her to screw up. No way. In the days before Skydark, when she had won a silver medal in the last Olympiad before the new cost, she'd felt eyes boring into her many times. Then it was idle competition. This time it was deciding whether she could hack it in a life-or-death situation. The pressure was really about the same. It all came down to whether Mildred could shut herself off, focus on the task at hand, and score on the target. No problem. The four shots clustered tightly around her targets, two to the center of the target that circled the mannequin's chest, and two in the middle of its head.
Check that out.
A lean black man with a shorn crop of black and gray hair that was receding took hurried strides toward the target mannequin. He was shorter than Mildred and was composed almost entirely of muscle. He was the only black man in the entire redoubt and had been eyeing her since she had arrived in the shooting gallery.
Damn, woman. Now that's fine shooting. Two clean shots in the center of each area. That's a good eye.
A still target isn't a problem. A moving one is much more of a challenge and much more realistic.
If you were aiming for me, I wouldn't move a goddamn muscle.
Was that a line, Rudy? Jesus, even I can do better than that.
Besides Mildred and Rudy, who was now making his way back toward the group, there were four others, none of whom Mildred particularly recognized.
Go screw yourself, Kath.
With losers like you around, that's the only option I've got.
Funny how your tune changes when people are around.
The small, sturdy woman, Kath, had short blonde hair and green eyes that looked at Mildred askance.
You always like to play hunter, do you, doctor?
Leave it, Kath.
I was only saying, Papa Joe sent her here to get some practice in, right? Only she ain't really doing that if she just shoots at a standing target, is she?
This seemed reasonable enough, but there was an edge to the woman's voice that the other three hellbenders in the room picked up on. There were two men and a woman, all dressed in camo and showing the muscularity that suggested Carell liked to train his people hard. Other than that, Mildred couldn't yet identify them. They exchanged glances that Mildred read as meaning that the blonde could be trouble. Mildred had walked into a situation. There was only one way out.
She's right, Rudy. If there's a more difficult option here, I really need to take it.
That can be arranged.
Are you volunteering to be my target?
Funny.
Kath walked over to a panel on the wall, where Rudy joined her.
Don't worry about them, Mildred. Kath thinks everyone's after Rudy, and she's a possessive bitch. You know how it is.
It's like deja vu all over again.
Huh?
Nothing.
Well, do you know how this range works?
Yeah, I got a clue.
The hellbender outlined the course briefly and had just finished when Kath and Rudy came over to Mildred.
You ready to show how good you are?
I sure hope I'm up to it.
Well, I've set the fucker on the highest level just to give you a good workout.
Gee, thanks. I hope I don't hurt myself.
One can only hope.
Mildred took her mark at the beginning of the course and waited. The lights dimmed.
Go!
Mildred had to take the course at top speed, running down the middle of the concourse from one end to the other. Along the way, she had to fire at targets as they sprang up, avoid firing at figures without targets that were sprung as decoys, and also avoid being hit by opposition fire, which was indicated by paint bombs. The targets were to each side and in front, causing her to change direction and pull back with speed as they sometimes sprang up to her rear or right in front of her. All the while, she was acutely aware of the paint bombs that were fired from oblique positions. The 200-yard course was littered with targets and decoys, and Mildred had to pitch and roll to avoid the paint bombs, snapping off shots as she rolled or came to her feet, twisting around the targets and decoys that hurled upward into her path, giving her little time to catch her breath or reload. She acted completely on instinct, and before she knew it, she was at the end of the course, back against the wall, panting heavily. The lights came up.
Now that was fun.
She looked down. There was no paint anywhere on her body. She turned and tried to look over her shoulder.
She hit all the bastard targets and didn't chill a decoy.
Mildred found it hard not to laugh. Not only was she pleased that her skills were still sharp, but she also couldn't resist a wry grin at the expression of frustration and displeasure on Kath's face. She walked past the fuming blonde.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have work to do.
Physical training took place in the third-level gym. It was still fully equipped from before Skydark, with a variety of gym equipment, both manual and electronic. In the center of the room, a space was cleared for a mat where unarmed combat could take place. Ryan and Christy were training along with several hellbenders. Many of them were using the old treadmills to work on their muscle strength and stamina, walking long distances at a fast pace with full backpack and weaponry to simulate marching conditions. Ryan was among those who were using the wall bars to climb, hauling themselves up by their arms alone in order to increase arm strength. Christy was standing with a small group that was training in unarmed combat, perfecting methods of hand-to-hand fighting, which was always tricky. A short, stocky Hispanic man with flowing black hair tied back in a ponytail was sparring with Travis. They were evenly matched in terms of physique, but Travis moved with less agility and with a little nervousness. One of the spectators leaned across to Christy.
See Juan?
Yeah?
He's just about the best fighter we've gotten here. Guy's so good, he doesn't need a blaster.
Everyone needs a blaster, no matter how good. If your opponent has one, then you're fucked if you can't fight from a distance of more than a few feet.
Guess you're right there.
Whether Juan heard this exchange, Christy couldn't tell. She just knew that suddenly he increased the intensity of his attack. From making purely defensive moves to block Travis's assault, he moved on to the offensive. Blocking a forearm punch from his opponent, Juan followed through smoothly to drive Travis's arm back, leaving his chest exposed. Travis moved his other arm across to block the expected blow, but instead of making the chop that his flattened hand suggested, Juan shuffled and brought up a foot into his opponent's now exposed groin. Caught out completely, the sharp blow drove the breath from Travis's body. Stunned, Travis fell forward, stumbling and throwing his arms out to try to regain his balance. Juan took full advantage of this defenseless position by driving home a 1-2 fisted attack. The Hispanic's hard knuckles shattered two of his opponent's teeth, and Travis's nose exploded in a shower of blood.
Motherfucker!
Travis's eyes turned up in his head, and he toppled backward, unconscious before he hit the mat, his head bouncing hard twice before he came to rest. Juan turned to where Christy stood.
I need nothing.
If you say so.
So, what do you need?
Nothing.
Christy's eyes were as cold as Juan's. The hair about her face and neck fluttered wildly as the sensory tissue within it responded to the sudden danger.
And what you did to Travis was way out of line. If you've got something you want to prove, then prove it.
I just have, lady.
Really? Did you tell Travis you were going to change the rules?
There are no rules. You should know that.
Yeah? You going to tell Carell that if Travis can't fight in the attack or anyone else you mess up? Thought not. If you have something to say to me, something to prove to me, then you deal with me. Understand?
Still keeping her eyes on Juan, Christy moved on to the mat. She removed the blaster that was holstered in the small of her back and placed it at the side of the mat, her eyes still fixed on the Hispanic. Juan moved back and thumbed sweat from his cheek. His eyes were like steel as he returned her stare.
So, you want to go the whole way?
Yeah, if that's what it takes.
What about your boyfriend, One Eye?
Ryan had his forearms and calves entwined on a rope dangling from the ceiling. The one-eyed man was observing, but made no effort to move for any of his blasters or his panga. His face was set and hard, betraying no emotions of any kind. Christy didn't look over her shoulder. She knew how Ryan would react. She needed to fight this battle herself. All the companions had to prove to the Hellbenders that although they stood together, they could handle themselves individually. They also had to show, if possible, that they were the better fighters.
He's got nothing to do with this. This is you and me. I win, you stop playing the fool and work toward winning the real battle, not showing off like a triple stoop kid.
And if I win... Which I will.
Then you can chill me if you like. No one, and I mean no one, will stop you.
What if I have other things in mind?
Then you'll definitely have to chill me.
All right. Then it begins.
The hellbender moved forward, crouched low, sharp to spot the slightest muscle movement telegraphing Christie's intentions. Sensing this, she stayed still. The only thing that moved was her hair.
You know, the only thing I hate more than a smart-ass bitch is a mutie smart-ass bitch.
Yeah, yeah, I heard it all before. You'll have to do better than that, asshole.
Juan made his move, darting forward on his right foot, feinting a chop with his right hand. Christie quickly moved in the opposite direction and bent under Juan's now misplaced left-hand punch, grabbing his wrist and using the momentum to throw the hellbender off balance. Juan was thrown forward, and as his ribcage was exposed, she brought her foot up in a vicious kick, the pointed silver toe of her boot catching him beneath the last rib and driving the breath from his body. As she released him, he tried to turn and control his fall, but her parting gesture was to viciously twist his wrist as she let go. The man was unable to fall correctly, and his shoulder jarred painfully as he hit the mat.
Oh, shit. Muty bitch is a hard ass.
Fuck it. You can't trust a muty.
Ryan stayed up on the rope, knowing it was best to stay well away and let Christie win this one on her own. He did, however, scan the crowd gathered around the mat, trying to identify who had uttered the last comments. The last thing he wanted was for there to be problems because the hellbenders were suspicious of Christie's muty genes. Christie also heard the comments and saw red. Juan was trying desperately to scramble to his feet, but he was badly winded. His wrist let him down when he tried to put weight on it, and he collapsed again. Christie took a step over to him, lifted him by the hair, and slammed her fist into his cheekbone. Before he had a chance to flail back at her, she let him fall. He slammed back onto the gym mat, blood pouring from the shattered inside of his mouth.
Is that it, Macho Man? Is that why you felt the need to prove yourself? Because I'm just a mutie to you? You stupid bastard. We're all the same here. Even those of us who've just joined you. It's charity that's the enemy, not me. I ought to really finish you off, in case you get any bright ideas about settling scores later. You fucking bastard.
Christie gave him another taste of her cowboy boot. One of the hellbenders rushed to fend her off.
Hey, hey! Can't we all just get along?
I don't think we muties can.
Oh, come on. He's not worth chilling.
Yeah. Neither is a smart-ass mutie bitch. Remember that.